Okay, the boy side, today's daf is daf Nun Hey, and we're holding Nun Dalid Umid Beis, 2-3 lines after the Mishnah, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Im Rotzel Lehoisif. Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah once again. The Mishnah started off in the middle here of Nun Dalid Umid Beis, that even though the minimum for a psula is Masayim, and for the Almana is a mana, Im Rotzel Lehoisif, Afilameya Mana Yoisif. You can add tons more, another $1 million. No problem. Now the Gemara says, here in the third line of the Gemara, in Ratzel Lahoisif, Ratzel Lichtoiv Loh Loiktani, El Ratzel Lahoisif. Says the Gemara, let's look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. In Ratzel Lahoisif, he wants to add. Why doesn't it simply say Im Ratzel Lichtoiv? If he wanted to write into the Ksuba another Meyamana, why did it say Lahoisif? Therefore, the Gemara says that the reason for Lahoisif is to tell us a special halacha, that the Toisvis that you're adding to the Ksuba has the exact same din as the minimum amount of the 200 and the 100. What does it mean it has the exact same din? The Gemara will tell us 14 ramifications about saying that the Toisvis Ksuba has the same din as the Ksuba itself. Tanoi Ksuba ki Ksuba dami. The Tanai in the Ksuba. In other words, any one of the additional clauses that we add to the Ksuba, such as those that we have previously discussed in the prior perek of the Benon Nukvin and the Bonin Scharin and the Almana herself, the Bonois, all of those things that we discussed, that's like the Ksuba itself, as well as any Toisis Ksuba. The Toisis meaning anything that you add to the Ksuba over and aboard, over and above the 100 or 200 minimum amount. So now you wonder, what does that mean that it's by Ksuba? So Timur Nafkimina, the Nafkimina is for the following. And Timur now lists 14 Nafkiminas. Number one is Lemoicheres, and number two is Lemoicheles. We had already in the previous parak, what happens if a lady sells her Ksuba, either to her husband, or she sells it to outsiders? And the Gemara, as you recall, said it's typically because of Zuzi on Suha. She is unfortunately very desperate. She needs money. She has no other asset other than her Ksuba. So she's willing to go and sell that Ksuba for a very large, deep discount to be able to at least raise some amount of funds. Okay, so now the question is, what does it have to do with us? So, maybe when she is moicheres ksuvasa, or for that matter, when she's moicheles ksuvasa, she goes to her husband and she says, I waive all my rights under my ksuba. I might think that perhaps we're only talking about the mana or masayim that she sold or that she was moichel. Zokten zigmana, no. She's moichel everything. Bakol mikol kol, the entire ksuba. So any part of that ksuba, not only the 100 and the 200, but also the tosefes, anything that's added into the ksuba, she is moicheres or moicheles, and therefore there's nothing left, so to speak.
But why? If it's she's doing a voluntary transaction, why can't she only sell part of the security?
She could even go voluntarily not sell it at all.
But I'm saying, but somebody says, look, I'm desperate for money, I'll sell only the tosefes.
No problem with that.
Okay, so why do we say it's a package deal?
What happens if you have a document? The document, Mrs. Smith hereby sells to Mr. Jones her ksuba for $100. Signed, Mrs. Smith. So let me ask you, what was included? Was included only the Maya Masayim, or was the Toises ksuba?
I saw but her specifying otherwise ksuba.
Sure. You can go and split it up. You can sell half of the ksuba. Okay. Sell only this, only that. But if you just say ksuba stam, let's look at the Rashi. Rashi is about halfway down the Rashis of the narrow lines. Lemoicheres ula moicheles, moicheres ksuvasa, oy moicheles ksuvasa, machla umachre esakoil, lefisha akoil kari ksuba.
Okay.
V'lo yamrinen loy mikri ksuba ella mana masai. So if she went and sold her ksuba, that means everything. If she says I'm only selling A and B and C and D, that's a different story. But we're talking about that she sold it generically. The ksuba includes everything. Same thing, Michael. And now we go on to Lim Moiredes. What's so much Moiredes? We're going to have this in Yetzirah Hashem in another week or so. where unfortunately the wife is rebelling against her husband, and it says over there that if she continues to rebel, that every day we put a daily penalty or knas on her to go and reduce the amount of her ksuba. What specifically, Merida, are we talking about? And Yetchim will get to it, but the major aspect is that she refuses to have relations with her husband. And then there's a knas every day. I believe it's 7 zuz, if I'm not mistaken. If you want to take a quick look, you're welcome to do that. It's on Daf Samach Gimel. We'll learn it another 7-8 days in Yerz Hashem. Should be a Mishnah there. Oh, you see the Mishnah? How many read this? It's a second wide line down below. Yeah, Ariel, do you have that? It's on. No, please take a look. No, I want you to take a look. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, 63a. I saw that you're curious, so I want you to be able to see black and white. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, second wide line. Ha Meiredes Al Bala. She is Meiredes. What is she Meiredes in? Skip to the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. Where are you looking, my friend? Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, you have it. Meiredes, says the Gemara, Mimai, what is she Meiredes? Rabuna Amar Mitash Mishamita. Like we said. And then there's another pshat. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah, what do you do with Meiredes? Poich Sala Miksuvasa Shiva Dinrin Bishabas. 7 dinrin, not a day, I guess, but every single week. Every week that she refuses to have relations with her husband, we reduce her suba 7 dinrin. Another week 7 dinrin, another week 7 dinrin, another week 7 dinrin. What happens when we finish and we exhaust the entire 200 or 100 of the basic suba? Do we stop there? Says our Gemara, no. That if the husband originally in that suba put in an additional $1,000, you keep on reducing it, another 7 dinrin, another 7 dinrin, until you get down to zero.
Then he starts billing her.
Very good question. At the end, when there's nothing left, and then he gives her a get, and he does not have to pay her any ksuba. The reason why the Chachamim would misakin ksuba, we don't want a husband who gets furious to go and give a get and say, okay, goodbye, Shrinza. Enough. I've had enough tzaras from you. To act as a financial deterrent, he has to go, oh, after you have to pay money. Oh, now I'm going to think over and another time, you know. It's one thing that you just give a get, but I got to go pay her also. Exactly. So that acts as a deterrent. So here we're saying that every single week we reduce it by 7 dinner. Not only the ksuba itself of the 100 and 200, but even all the way, the toises, everything in the ksuba we reduce until it goes down to zero. Then he just hands over a get and goodbye.
But don't worry, most marriages are avivah for selling the rapes. These are exceptional cases.
Do you have a statistical study on this?
I know from my personal experience.
Your personal experience.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Unfortunately, there are numerous gittin and kliyos.
I was told
way
that
later.
Shalom bias is worth fighting for.
Very good. Beautiful. And we continue on. The next case of the Mishnah is Ula Poigemes. What's mean Poigemes? So that's going to be a later Gemara Daf Pezai. That what happens if you have a husband and wife in Bezdin, he already gave her a get, and now he has to pay the ksuba, and she admits that she already received part of the ksuba. Whatever it was. Whether it's $5 on the ksuba, $100 on the ksuba. But she didn't get the whole thing. She just said, I got part of it. That's called Poigemes. Poigemes means to put a pegam in the ksuba, that I'm not entitled to the whole thing, I'm only entitled to part of it. The husband, on the other hand, says, what are you talking about? I gave you everything. I have nothing left. I gave you that whole bakalbikokal. So now the question is, what's the deal? So Mitzvah Mepei Zayim, when you're learning the Mishnah, that Habegemes Ksuvasa, a lady that says I only received part of the ksuba, she has to make a shavua. It's similar in concept to a Moedim and Mikzas, right? She said part, yeah, part Nish. She has to go and make a shavua. I'm sorry?
And then she's no tellus, then she takes the
Accounts. Yeah, okay, that's the next. Anyway, so if you want to take a quick look of the Rashi, Lepoigemes, 4 lines before the wide lines, Poigemes, Beperika, Koisiv, Tanan, Ha Poigemes, Ksuvasa, Loitifra, Ella, Bishvur, Impogma, Toisefes, Nami, She'omu, Lashem, Piroin, Ha Toisis, Kabalti, dinner. She said, I got a dinner already, down payment on the Ksuv. It wasn't of the Mea Mosayim, the basic minimal amount. It was from the larger Tosefes I received a dinner. That's also considered to be begemis kuvasa. The toyin bala is kabalta kol ksuba sech. And if he tells her, you got everything, you have to make a shvua. So therefore, don't think that the shvua is only if she said, I received part of, but not the complete 200 that I'm entitled to. But she said, 200, I didn't get it all, gunished. Of the extra 1,000 that you added to the ksuba, there I got a dinner. That's all to call pegemes, and there too you have to go and make a shvua. Next case is l'toivaas. Now we had already yesterday, the day before. What happens if a person is toivas ksuvasa? She comes to Bezim, she says, I want my ksuba. From that point on, ein lo mizaynus. So now the question is, what happens if she is tamen chochem, an eishes chover? She goes into Bezin, she wants to continue getting her mezainis, and she says, you know what, the basic suba, leave. I'm not going to discuss that today, I'm going to come back in a year from now, 5 years from now. I just want to collect now the toisefis suba, which, by the way, we typically think of being a larger amount. It could be, relative to the 200, a smaller amount. In other words, in addition to the 200, another 50, or whatever it happens to be. Anyway, so she comes into Bezin, and she's toivas, the additional toisefis suba. What's the din? Same din. Ein lo mizaynus. Because the toisefes ksuba has the same din as the ksuba itself. And the next case, uloi veris aldas. A woman that unfortunately is what we call today OTD, off the derech. And she's not doing das moshe v'yisrael. What are the details? What isn't she doing correctly? That's going to be a mishnah later on daf ayin beis. So in other words, in another couple of weeks. So what happens then? A veris aldas, the halacha is, the husband has the right to give her a get. Beloi ksuban says, you're no longer going and serving kosher meat at the table. You're no longer being shemeres Shabbos, or whatever. You have to see the definitions in the Mishnah and in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis. So he can go and give her a get without giving a ksuba. Don't think that he is absolved from giving the mana morsayim, but he has to give the toisefes ksuba, because that's sutrashi, that's like an additional matona bi'alma, and that perhaps she does not lose. No. It has the same din as the rest of the ksuba. She loses everything. Not only the mana masayim, but the toisefes ksuba as well. And now we're at the top of the amid. Another thing that the tenoi ksuba, or the toisefes ksuba, has the same din as the ksuba itself. That's lishevach. What's the name of the Shevach? Shevach means what happens in between one time and the other time there was an appreciation or an appreciation in value. Rashi says that the typical case that we normally talk about is a case of a Bechor. That a Bechor is Neutel Pishnayim, but only Beroy, only Bemuchsik, Veloy Beroy. What does that mean? That means, as you know, if you have multiple boys and the person passes away, min ha-toira, the Bechor, assuming that there is a Bechor, he's noitel pishnayim, he gets two chalak. So if there are, let's say, four boys all together, then they'll divide up the Yerusha into five, he'll get two pieces and the other will get one piece each. Okay, fine. What happens if the time that the father passed away, he left over in the bank account and all the metalkal and all the cash and all the karka, bakal, mikal, kol, he left over $1,000,000. Okay, so Bechor is hoping to go and get of that two portions, so we're going to divide $1,000,000 by five, comes out to roughly $200,000 each. Very good. Always good to have you there. So that's $200,000. So now if he's going to get two portions, he's going to get $400,000. Very nice. What happens by the time they get to Bezin? After all, they have to sit Shiva and then Shloishim, and the boys, Baruch Hashem, are on good terms. Then a year later, they decide, you know what, we really can't let this hang out there forever. We should really divide up the estate. And then they go into the bankers and the appraisers, and they find out that Baruch Hashem, the market is up. Not like today. And therefore, it's no longer worth $1,000,000. Now it's worth $2,000,000. Okay, does he get the same pishnayim in that additional $1,000,000? And the answer is no. He only gets the two chalakim, that double chalik, in whatever was there at the time of the father's petira. See, if you look at the demise, good. If you look at the top line of the Rashi, the Shevach Shom B'Chayris, Ein HaBachar Noitel Pishnayim, B'Shevach Sheshovchu Nechosim. Shevach means the appreciation and value of the possessions. La'achar misas aviyam. After the father died, that's when the clock stops. And then we have to look at that moment in time and decide, that's the amount that he's going to get the pishnayim, and not any further appreciation over the next few weeks, months, years, etc. But what does it have to do with us? I'm sorry?
Property. Let's say you had a piece of property here, West End at 91st Avenue. And
91st Street, maybe.
91st Street.
Yeah, no problem.
And there's fluctuations there. So were they talking about where they already said this piece of property, you get two portions of it? Or are they talking about things which came to the estate?
Subsequent to the demise.
Subsequent to the demise. In other words, you've already identified a piece of property, in which case you would think he gets the...
It's his property.
If it's a piece of real estate, then the real estate remains intact. It hasn't... nobody can take it away, right? It means on its spot. If that's the only thing that you're dividing up. So on the day of the demise, he would have taken two out of the five chalakim in our case. So a year later, he'll take two out of the five chalakim. Whether it's gone down in value, whether it's gone up in value, because it's the only thing. However, if besides real estate, it also happens to be stocks, and it also happens to be bonds, and T-bills, and a few gold watches, and some very expensive Persian carpets, and all that. So now you have to add up and appraise the value that it was at the time of the person's demise. And now, a year later, some things have gone up, some things have gone down. Whatever has gone up in value, he does not receive two portions in that. He only receives two portions of what was there at the time of his father's passing.
It's marked to market as of the day his father passed.
Marked to market. That's your lotion, right? I think yeah. You're stealing his
fury. For the financial community.
Exactly. So, the Sigmara tells us not only does this apply to Bechor, look right in the Rashi, second line, V'lo isha b'ksuvasa, that the same thing applies to the ksuva, that if she was going to receive her ksuba, and the ksuba Baruch Hashem, and what happens is that some of the property has gone up in value, so you don't go and give her from the higher value, you give her from the value that was there at the time of the passing. So if there was new appreciated money that's come in, the person had a bank account, and he earned, like one earns today, 0.00001 interest on the bank account, and that money came in after the husband's patira, that money she has no shaykhis to. She only has shaykhis to the original money. It was there at the time of the original demise. That's both for the ksuba as well as for the
heisis. She doesn't get from the talton either, except for...
Now, we're going to talk about that. You're jumping the gun. Let's wait another line or two of Mietz Hashem. We'll get to that. The next one, Uli Shvias. Oh, that's Negev this year. This year, as we know...
Shvias.
Oh, I'm sorry, skip Shvur. My apologies. Thank you very much. Shvur. Shvur comes before Shvias, especially in the Aleph Beis, right? Vav comes before Yud. Anyway, what's the Shvur? Shvur means any type of reason why she would need to go and make a Shvur on a Ksuba. He says, Rashi, for instance, Hanifras Shaloi Befanav. Her husband is a Medina Sayyam. He's not expected back for another year or two, and she wants to get her Ksuba. So she goes to Bezin. Bezin says, she doesn't have to wait a year or two. If he wants to go on vacation, Medina Sayyam, tight. We're going to go and give her Ksuba now, even if he's not here. But you have to make a Shvua. What's a Shvua that she didn't receive? Because maybe the husband already paid her. Gemara uses says, Batsrori Atfasa. We're going to talk about that a little later. Tsrori Atfasa means that maybe he gave her in advance, whilst they were still living together as husband and wife.
Bundles of cash.
Bundles of cash, expensive jewelry, all on the cheshbon of the ksuba. Rabbi, thank you for joining us, but we're back to full on schedule for Mietz Hashem today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Friday, we're back to 8:05. And therefore, we started today approximately 7:40, 7:45. We're on the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. We're on the top line. So, the Gemara tells the Gabi Shvua. So, what's the Shvua? So, Rashi said a person in the Frash Loi Befanav, the husband's not here, the former husband's not here, so she wants to get paid. She has to make a Shvua. Or you have Eid Echad Me'ida Shehi Perua. Like every time you have an Eid Echad, right? You don't have two Eidim. The husband and wife are together in Bezin. She says, I didn't get paid. He says, you did get paid. There's one Eid that says, yes, she got paid. Eid Echad is Machayiv a Shvua. Or if she wants to get paid from the Chasim Mishubadim, or Nechsi Yisayinim. Rashi gives a whole line of cases, and Yitzhak we can have on Daf Pei Zayin, where in order to get paid, she has to make a Shvua. So this Shvua doesn't only apply to the basic core ksuba, but also to the oisitz ksuba. And the shvias is shmita year. As we know, shmita is mishamit a choiv, but it's not mishamit a ksuba. Otherwise, every single married lady would have to make sure to have a prizbul every shmita, because after all, she has a she has a ksuba. So the shviyas is not mishamet ksuba. So our Gemara is coming to tell you, not only is not mishamet the ksuba itself, but also the choice is ksuba. She doesn't have to worry about that at the end of the shmita year that she might lose out on the amount owed to her under her ksuba. What is this all about? This is not a Gemara over here. This is a Gemara in Yesh Nochlin, where the Gemara tells us over there what happens if before a person passed away, he had his wife and his children all there in the same room, and he starts divvying up his estate in advance. And he gives to his children kach v'kach, and then to his wife he gives a relatively inexpensive piece of property and says to her, this will be for your ksuk. Now, does she have to agree? Does she not have to agree? That's Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra. Part it is, she has to go and say, yeah, I'm masking. Because if she's not masking, she had the ksuba that was written out years ago when they got married. That is paramount, that is binding. However, if she wishes to, she can agree to her husband when she hears her husband saying, well, you know, all of our kinderlach, they all have to make money, they have to support their families, they have to go pay tuition, they have to go and pay their mortgages, or whatever it happens to be, or their rent. And she says, fine, I'll take this small piece of karka from my ksuba. So if she agrees to that, then the Gemara says over there, cost of the ishtri karka kolshu of the ksuba. So if she agreed, then she loses her ksuba. In other words, she's not entitled to get anything more than what we agreed to. Says our Gemara, the same thing applies to the Toys' ksuba. She shouldn't go and say, yeah, I was moichel on the Masayim based on this karka kolshu. But what about the additional 50 or 100 or 1,000 that I was expecting to get? That's also part of the package. And if she said, if she got a karka kosher and the husband was still alive and she agreed, then that's it. She forfeits anything over the value of that piece of property. And the next case is ligvois mena karka. Oh, this is what we heard a minute ago from Brother Shai. What means mena karka? We already had in the Gemara previously that when it comes to collecting a ksuba, you only collect mena karka and not from the talklin. So Agmar tells us, and not only the Mega Masayim, but the entire Ksuba. Everything is only from Karka, not from the Tafel. That was in the times of Chazal. You remember, Toys has told us that today that's not the Minig anymore because of the Tikkunos HaGoyim. This is more back on Nun Aleph from Mer Aleph, right before the Mishnah. Amar Rav Hilchasa, Mimer Karkoi, Vilay Mimetalkli, Bein Liksuba, Bein Limezoini, Bein Liparnasi, only collect from Karka. So Agmar is telling us what we say, Bein Liksuba. Doesn't just mean the minimum ksuba, but the entire, the toisis ksuba as well. Zayik. Next halacha. Umenaziburius. As we know, there are three levels. One level is idius, one level is beninus, the next level is ziburius. Idius is a mazik as a din of idius. The din of beninus is by a bal choiv, and ziburius is by a ksuba, ksuba sisha. Ziburius means property which is of lesser quality, not lesser value. You could have a piece of property on Manhattan on Park Avenue, which is worth $1,000, and you can have a piece of property in West Harlem or Bedford-Stuyvesant or neighborhoods where the real estate values are a little bit less than Park Avenue on the east side. It could still be worth $1,000. The difference would be that on Park Avenue, West in the 50s or 40s, probably for 4 inches by 4 inches, that's $1,000. While in Harlem and Bedford-Stuyvesant, maybe you have to have a whole city block to be worth that $1,000. So the point is, it's the same value, but most people would prefer having the Park Avenue property rather than having the Harlem property. Yeah. Anyway, so that's called ziburis. Just as an aside, years ago we had davening with us Rav Rif Zatzal. Rav Rif was the shver, the father-in-law of the late Rabbi Gettinger, Zecharon Livracha. In other words, an Elter Zeid of the today is Rabbi Gettinger. Anyway, Rav Rif was a tremendous, tremendous goy. And I remember I once came home from yeshiva at the end of the Zman, and he asked me, where is there a discussion in the Gemara, the difference between the idius, the beinus, and ziburius? So I told him, this is a toisvis, this stuff, whatever we were learning. We were learning, I think, Bava Kama, this is a toisvis. Wo noch steht der toisvis? Where else does this toisvis appear in Shas? I said, Rav, I'm so happy I remember this toisis. I'm going to know the other toisis in Shas. And he said, well, der toisis steht in vier Elter in Shas. It means this toisis appears in four separate places in Shas. One here in Bava Kama, another time in Bava Basra, another time in Kiddushin, another time in Ksubas. Well, foreplaced. He says, Abbas is merkvidik. Merkvidik means it's noteworthy that in three of the Toises, he says the Toises are all basically word for word identical. But it's noteworthy that in three of the Toises it says, V'oimer Rabbeinatam, V'oimer Rabbeinatam, V'oimer Rabbeinatam. And the fourth time the Toises says, Umargile Bepumed Rabbeinatam, which means this was a frequent. That's one shot. Marga is the Lashon of from Margulius, but also from the Lashon of Regilus. Marga Bumi, this is something that Rabbeinu Tam said frequently, not once in a Yoivil. Marga Bumi, this is something that he would say on a frequent basis. David bring to hell the Aleph Yeh Gemaras. He told me which four Gemaras to look up. This Gemara Adam Ksuvis, whatever. This Gemara Kedushin, whatever. This Gemara Bava Kama, and this one Bava Basra. And we looked up all four places. And here Daf Nuntas, and here Daf Kotei, and whatever it was. But Imre Rabbeinu Tam, Imre Rabbeinu Tam, Imre Rabbeinu Tam. Margul Pume de Rabbeinu Tam. That's a person that knows Shas, you know, on the fingertips, not just the Gemara, but the Tashis, and those nuances in the Tashis of.
With places.
I don't know. I'd have to. Rav Riff is no longer alive. But if you want me to look it up, believe me, I will look it up for you. I have not looked at those sources in a while. But it's three times. I even have made a time at one time.
He
was the Rav of Camden, New Jersey for 40 years. And he would say about himself, "Wenn ich bin kommen in Camden, der Elam ist gewesen weiß und der Boden gewesen schwarz. Ich bin weggegangen von Camden, der Elam ist gewesen schwarz. Und ihr Body gewesen weiß." When I came to Camden, the Olam was white and my beard was black. By the time I left Camden 40 years later, the Olam, meaning the population, was now black and my beard was already white. So it was that switch. Anyway, he was a tremendous going.
Quick question on Gemara.
Up to three.
We had Shavua and we had Pogemus.
Right.
Why isn't Pogemus part of
Shavua? Rashi asked your question. If you look at Rashi, about 10 lines at the top, the Avagad to Pogemis, you see at the beginning of the line, but Pogemis, Bahai Klola Issa.
Shavua is only in a certain.
Yeah, I see. Bahai Klola Issa, Issa.
It's all a part of Shavua. So why do we have to have a list separately?
Right.
Rashi says for another reason we have to have a list separately. But you're right, in terms of the Shavua, it would have included the Pogemis as well. So Rashi asks your question. And we continue on. Next case in the Mishnah is called Manchi, or Minaziburius, we already spoke about. What means Kozman Shi Beveis Aviyah? So now there's a difference between when that she happens to be Beveis Bala or Beveis Aviyah. You remember we learned yesterday in the Gemara, it says in the Lashon of the Ksuba, Beveisi. And the Gemara Darshan Beveisi Veloi Bebiksi. That if the father left a nice large house, then the Almana can stay in that house until practically forever. Unless she decides to remarry and she's already looking for Shiduchim and all the rest. But otherwise, she can go and stay in that house forever. However, the Gemara said that it's basically a bixi. Bixi means if it's a small little shtibula, that there's hardly enough room for the family and her, then we say, sorry, young lady, please go back to your base of here. We need extra room, Laban's Raum, to be able to go and live here in this house. Anyway, yeah, you didn't like that, though.
No, I don't.
I know. Anyway, German. Yeah. Good. So, do you think it's nice for going children going to throw out the almuna and you check it out?
No, but that's the expression.
I understand. But that's the same type. Okay. Anyway, it is what it is. So, getting back to our Gemara. So, what happens if she happens to be the base of Via instead of the base Bala? Oh, then there's already a deadline. There's a something of limitations?
Statute
with an extra
Zeta.
Exactly. Okay, so if a person happens to be, if the almana stays the base bala, she could theoretically stay there until 120 and keep on getting mezonos day in, day out, until she passes away, as long as she is happy to live there as an almana. And you remember we had two minhagim, the Anshi Yushalayim, Anshi Golu, and the Anshi Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Anshi Yehuda were able to cut it short and say, you don't want your ksuba? Take it, whether you like it or not. Fine. That's Bebeis Bala. Bebeis Aviyah is a 25-year statute of limitation. That if she doesn't demand payment of a ksuba for 25 years, after 25 years, she loses it. So use it or lose it. So she had to go and ask for it 25 years.
That's
okay.
A good run, though, 25 years.
25 is a nice...
She's a bit severe already, but she's not...
Exactly. So, what's the din? Not only does she lose her regular ksuba after 25 years, she also loses the choices ksuba. So you better ask for it. Look at the Rashi. Rashi is... oh, boy. Yeah, 20 lines from the top. Kozman shi bebeis avi. See the beginning of the line? Kozman shi bebeis avi. Tanan vah noise. Kozman shi bebeis avi. Bemeshach al menusa. Goy biksubasa li oila. If it's bebeis vala. Kozman shi bebeis avi. Shloi hoyo oivden oisa hi yasayimim. They didn't work with her. In other words, she wasn't doing household chores. She wasn't doing the laundry. She wasn't doing the cleaning and the cooking. Vloi zan oisa. And they didn't give her mezainis. Goy biksubasa ad chof. Hey, he shot him until 25 years. Tim Shoska, yes, okay, if she was quiet. Yoim Echad, even one day. Machla says she's Moichle Ksuba, and Rechain the Tisefes. So you see the Tisefes Ksuba is just like the Ksuba for purposes of that Machila of the 25 years, the base of him. And we continue on to the final case. Ule Ksubas Bonin Dichrin. We've discussed Ksubas Bonin Dichrin several times. This refers to, of course, that the father of the Kala gives a nun to his daughter, knowing that this nun is not going to be split with the other kids, but only with her children. Meaning, we want to incentivize fathers to go and give dowries to their daughters. And in the good old days, people used to have multiple wives, and therefore multiple children from the multiple wives. And people were very nervous. If I'm going to give a big dowry to my daughter, and then after that, my daughter passes away. And then my son-in-law is going to yarsh it. And then he's going to pass away. And then my nun is going to be split among 25 kids from all four or five wives that he has. So therefore, the Ksuba Bonin Dichrin only goes to her children and not to the other children. So Sokadaitech, maybe this only applies to the Mano or Masayim, or just to the nun that the father gives. So the answer is no. Everything, the whole Ksuba, what he put in, and the Mano Masayim, any Toisefis that the Chosin puts in, anything and everything is divided and is given to those Bonin Dichrin, to those boys of her marriage, as opposed to all the kids of the other marriages. So, now we know why our Mishnah uses the term Imratza Lahoisif instead of Imratza Lichtoiv. Lahoisif comes to tell you that all of these 14 different categories that we just went through, Toisis Ksuba, is just like the Ksuba itself. And at this point, we put down two dots and we start a new shtickle. Itma. Ksuba is Bonin Dichrin. But Badisa Amri Loi Tarfan Mi Mishabdi. Yarsantra. What happens if, after the mother passes away, and after the father passes away, and now the Bonin Dichrin said, oh, we're finally going to go and get the nun from our Zaydi, and we're going to go and get all those spoils, and it turns out that the cupboard is bare. There's nothing there because the father was an Ani Ve'evyo, and he sold all of his properties, Sugunishtu. But now the Bonin Dichrin say, okay, so why don't we go to the Lekuchais? We go to the Mishabdi. After all, when the father got married, he was a wealthy, wealthy individual. He had all these karkan, especially from the nan that he received. So, if those were sold, we're going to go and take it from the Mishabadim. Says our Gemara in Pabadisa, they said, Loitar Mishabdi, you cannot go and take from the Kuchais. Whatever was sold, you lose that Bonin Dichrin. Why? Because he yarsin tonight, because he uses the Lashon of Yarsin. Where is this Lashon of Yarsin? If you go back to the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amid Beis, Nun Beis Amid Beis, third wide line, it said in the Mishnah, Loi Kosev Lo, even if he did not write in the Ksuba, Bonin Dichrin, Di Heve Lichim Inoi Einan, Yarsun Kesef Ksuba Sech. Even if it doesn't say it, it's Chai because it's a Tanai Bes. What does Yarsun mean? Yarsun is the Lashon of Yerusha. But as we'll see more in a moment, there was another Gersa. Instead of Yarsun, it's Yaspun Kesef Ksuba Sech. Yaspun means to receive or to take, as opposed to Yarshin. Oh, that's a different story. So back to Agamar, from Disa Amri Loitam Mishabi Yarshin Tanan. And by Yerusha, you don't go and take Yerusha from Mishabadim. However, Machasi Amri, Tarvin Mishabi, you can go and take Mishabadim. Why? Because Yaspun Tanan. Yaspun means you have a right to, you like a Lekeach. And therefore, they're the Lekeach Rishon before the other Lekuchais, because the Ksuva, it predates all of those other Lekuchis that bought these fields. So therefore, they are entitled to go and get their Ksuvas Bonin Dichrin from Mishuman. It's a machlekes. The Hilchasat Halach is like the people in Pumbedisa, that Loi Tarv Mishabdi, because Yarsin Tanan, it's like a Yerusha, and it's not a hasava. It's not a taking or receiving.
The ksuba itself for her, though, she does get from, if he were to die.
Whether you can go and collect the ksuba from Mishubadim?
Yeah.
Ksuba you can get from Mishubadim. Yeah, that you get. We had before about Chamisha Goivim Minah HaMechurorin. What were those things? Ksubas Isha Sha'in Ba Achrayis. If there's no Achrayis in the ksuba,
it's Tosa Remeir
and Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Achrayis to a Sofer or not. But at least according to Remeir, that holds the Achrayis is not to a Sofer. And Barry will say the reason is because Remeir was a Sofer himself, so he didn't make any mistakes, etc. At least he knew that this is not just an oversight, this was a negotiated term. So back on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, we had a Braisa, Chamisha Goyim Min Achurorim. The five that it can only collect from Bnei Chayim. That's Nun Aleph Amid Beis. That 8-9 lines from the top of the Amid. Who, what are those five? Elahem Peiris and Shvach Peiris and Makabal Allah and Ben Ishto, Yehud Bas Ishto, the Gechav Shabbat, Uksu Bas Isha She'ein Ba Achrayis. So if the Ksuv Isha has Achrayis in it and says, V'kol Nechosav Achroim Uksu Vaseich, and everybody agrees, you can go and take from Shabbatim. If it doesn't say a Christ, that's the Machlok of Rameir of Yehuda. Rameir says, if it doesn't say a Christ, you don't have a Christ. Okay, no problem.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara once again, and the halacha is the correct girsa in the Mishnah, the correct girsa in the Ksuba is Yarsin and not Yaspun. That's halacha number one. Mitalkli b'snu beinai loy shvur. Less than an ayu is a machloikis between Pobedisa and Bnei Mosul Mechasim. What is this all about? The Gemara elsewhere says, we're going to have in Yetz Hashem, that every time you have a ksuba, there is a concern, Shema Tzrori Atasa. What means Shema Tzrori Atasa? The husband very much loves his wife, and he may be suspicious of the children, that they may not go and treat her fairly. After all, these may not be their common children, it may be children of another marriage, and therefore they perhaps even resent having this lady who's there in the home causing trouble, and therefore when it comes time for ksuba paying and all the rest, they may be very miserly and stingy, and therefore tzrora atfasa. Sometimes we are concerned, or we assume, that there's a possibility that the husband gave her a tzrora. Tzrora means like a tzrora, like a wallet or a purse full of cash or full of jewelry, and this with that, he really wanted to go and be yoitz the ksuba, so she shouldn't have to have a lengthy, drawn-out litigation and negotiation. She has the money. Okay, so now, tzrori, by definition, is metalk. That's something you cash and carry, and you take it, or it's jewelry, and the like. Good. So metalkli v'sno beinai. What happens if there are metalklin, and they are present in the home, and Rashi says he was miyachet these metalklin l'ksubas ishtoi, and he passed away, and the metalton are here in full sight of everyone, then she can go and take this metalton. She does not have to make a shvur. What's the reason why because I'm concerned about tzrori atfasa. I don't have to worry about tzrori. This is the tzrori. This is the metalton that he designated. So he wouldn't go and give her separate metalton instead of this metalton. Here's the metalton. So you don't need to make a shvur. However, if he was miyachid, metalkli, and less no beinai, they're not here. Says Rashi, going to Abdu. They're lost. I don't know where the metalkli are. Oh, what's the din now? Do you have to be concerned that maybe the husband gave her substitute metalkli, substitute tzorari, or not? So now we have here four machloikas in a row between the Masa Mechasya people, and I should start off with the Pumpadisa people, the Masa Mechasya. So the first one was on Bathis Ksubas Banan Tichrin. The second one, whether you can go and be traded from the Mishabdi. Now, whether you have to make a new Shvua if the original Metalklin are not here, less Mihayu. But this army below Shvua, you can go and collect without a Shvua because you don't have to worry about that the husband gave her substitute Metalklin. They must Mechasi Amri Bishvua. You have to make a Shvua. Mehilchas and Alochas below Shvua, like the Pumpadisa people. That's two for Pumpadisa, right? Number one. We pass them like them of Yarsin and not Yasman, and therefore Loi Tarfin Mishabdi, and the same thing is we pass them like them Loi Shvur.
How do we know that? I mean, when you say that he didn't give her the metalklin are in front of us, He may have other metaklin that he did give her. What's this?
Look, Rashi, the first wide line. Metaklin is no beinai. Hamiyachin metaklin tzuvasishtar. He tells all his family members. You see watches and this bank account.
Okay, this is my wife. Okay, so it's already designated and identified.
Designated, identified.
But otherwise, she doesn't collect from metaklin. This is a special case where he set it aside.
Exactly. And he set it aside. If it's still around, then you don't need to make a shua. But if it's not around, now maybe he gave for other metaklin. So somehow or other, this got lost. It fell down the drain. The maid put it in, went down the toilet. Who knows what happened? So now, what's the story? Did he go and designate other substitute or replacements? That's the machlokes. Whether I'd be choishit for that she has to make a shvua, yes or no? Nochus Chassi said, yes, make a shvua. We pass the like Papa Dis, and Nochus Abulash. Number three. Yichad lo arab arba metzrana. What happens if in the ksuba he goes and says, I want you to be able to collect your ksuba from a particular property that I have, and he identifies the property with all four borders on all four sides. By writing that, he's very intent that that's where she can go next for. And therefore, beloi shvua. You don't have to make a shvua now that maybe the husband set aside metalklin to tzrari to be yoitze v'ksuva, because since he identified that piece of property with such particularity, all four sides, then we know that that was his intent that she should get that, and he's not going to go and give her tzrari instead. So I am not choshesh, I don't assume that maybe there was tzrari, and therefore lo shvua. However, b'chan metzra, if you left it somewhat vague and says, you know my property there on 91st Street. Yeah, but where 91st Street? Is it West End? Or is it on Broadway? Is it in between West End and Broadway? I don't know which one it is, it's just the b'chan metzra. That becomes a little bit more vague. So b'disa amri, lo shvua. You still don't have to make a shvua because I identified property on 91st Street, you'll figure it out. But in b'chasi amri b'shvua. Since it's not so well identified on all four borders, maybe in fact the husband in subsequent years he said to his wife, you know, forget about that property, here I give you cash, this way you know for sure you get paid, you don't have to worry about it. So the question is, does she have to make a shvua at the time of collection of the ksuba that she did not get tzrari? Say the Pumbedisa people say she does not have to make a shvua. One identifying metzra is enough. No, Chassi say no, she has to make a shvua. Maybe the husband gave it. Sorry, beloy shvua again, like the Pugadis.
How can the Muslim Chassi people say shvua in Shmon al Karkos? Don't you have a principle that you don't make a she wants to take a piece of property, she has to make a shvua? It's surprising they even argue about this.
The shvua is that she didn't receive tzrari. It's not a tzrari by definition of talking. So it's not that she's nishba al karka. Karka belongs to her, doesn't belong to her.
She's taking a shua so she can take property. The shua is on the metalton. Thank you.
On the metalton.
Thank you.
Exactly.
So three for Buddhisa.
Three for Buddhisa. And now we have the fourth one, the fourth and final. Oh, Mubi Eidim. Now this is really not related to us, the Hilchas Tum, but it's a generic halach. Mubi Eidim, Kislu, V'chismu, V'havu Lei. What happens if a person tells to Eidim, I want to convey a present to my good friend Yaakov? I have to go away on a business trip. I'm not going to be back for another 6 months, and I don't want to waste any time. Do me a favor, kislu, write at a shtar, bill of transfer, that I give my property on 91st Street to Yaakov, my good friend, kislu, and sign on it, and give it to him, and shalom al Yisrael, and I'm leaving on a trip in another few minutes. My El Al flight is waiting. If he at the same time made a kinyan, he didn't make a kinyan on the karka that he is conveying, but rather he made a kinyan. Suda, for instance, picks up a handkerchief or a pen or a gartel or whatever, and he makes such a kinyan suda, and he says, Chevra, I mean it, I'm making a kinyan. They don't have to go back and ask him a second time. In other words, even kisu v'chismu, they sign, they write out the shtar, they give it to a sofer to write out, and then they sign it. But should I actually go and give it to Yaakov? After all, this fellow, maybe he was in, you know, he just had a nice drink and he was in good circumstances. But after that, when things kind of wear off, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he's no longer so friendly with Yaakov. If he made a kinyan, you don't have to ask any questions.
How does that kinyan work? What is the kinyan doing in that case? It's not on the karka, so what's the kinyan doing in that case?
Have you ever been at to the chasana?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Kabbalah Spanim? Where the Sada Kedusha is writing out and filling in the blanks, and now he gets Edom, and he says, okay, I want you to pick up You pick it up. What's the reason for picking up the pen? Is to go and put a kinyan on. It's not easy to acquire the shtar, or to acquire the pen, or to acquire the karka. It's to go and show that the person...
Gemir das.
Gemir, gemar das, gemir das, and you're not going to change his mind.
Okay, thank you.
So once he made that kinyan, you don't have to ask him any more questions. We can't admit it, but if he didn't make the kinyan, but he was very specific. He said, Kismu, Kismu, Vahavulai. He looked like he was very determined. He didn't do a kinyan. So, do I have to be Mamluk? Yes, I'm these Amulek. So, you don't have to ask him any more questions. He told you very clear. Kismu, Kismu, Kismu. No, no, you do have to ask him again.
Sure.
So, on the fourth one, we pass like the B'nai Masa Mechasya, and not like the Pumbedisa. So, it's Pumbedisa 3-1. Pumbedisa got the 3 halakha like it. And so Rebbe Chassid got the
how
four.
How much time lapsed was he consulted after?
The Luchay, right.
Okay. This is Rebbe Yehuda question.
Yeah.
Rebbe Yehuda.
Okay. It's a good, it's a good. Rebbe Lozab. Who's Rebbe Lozab ben Azariah? So we go back to our Mishnah. Rebbe Lozab ben Azariah says that what happens in Le'olein of Le'olechem, this Armula, as we discussed with Ariel yesterday, this Armula means like this Almana, the Nebuch, the husband, passed away. Or he gave her a get. Third line of the Mishnah. She's Nebuch now an Almana from her husband. She gets everything. Everything means not only the Meyam Masayim, but any Toises Ksuba inside the Ksuba. Even Min HaEris. Because Min HaSayim, no. Min HaNisuin, Goy V'Sakot. If they talk and consummated the marriage, yeah. Min HaEris said, no. So the Goy V'Masayim, Almana, just the bare minimum. So it costs of what? El Manas HaKaitza. Why do you think he put into the shtar an additional $1 million? He just wanted to throw his money away in the trash bin. The reason is because he was hoping in Yetzir Hashem to have a nice life together with this young lady. And the reason why he wanted Amanas Lekoit, so he wanted to have an intimate marriage. And we never got to that point. At the moment it's just, if you will, like an engagement. He lives in his house and she lives in her house. And from time to time they send shlachmunas to each other. But that's about it. Therefore, since we never got to that final moment of the Masla Kaitza, therefore she doesn't get the Toysa Suba, she only gets the Meya or Ma Zayin. Yeah, that's what Lozman Azariah's Chiddush. How do we pass it? Itmar, Rav Reb Nosson, Chad Omar, Lokir, Lozman Azariah, Chad Omar, Eina Lokir, Lozman Azariah. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds, Goy Ve'esakoyl, even Mena Eris, and you get everything. Now, what would be the reason why Rav Lozman Azariah says his halacha? So the Gemara is going to use an expression of umdina. Umdina means we try to look in the person's mind. What's the reason why a chassan agrees to give his kala $1 million? After all, he only had to give mana masayim. Why should he go and add the choices? Says Reb Lozman Azariah, you don't have to think too deeply. The reason is because he wants to, of course, in Yetzer Hashem, consummate the marriage. If and when they consummate, then he wants to give it $1 million. But if they never consummated, they just quote unquote betrothed, engaged.
It's just a down payment.
A down payment. So looking more yet, the stayim the Reb Nosson who the Amik Reb Lozman is Ayin. The Shemina Lil Reb Nosson the Osel Nosson Umdina. I find elsewhere in totally different situations. Reb Nosson also goes Basa Umdina. Umdina means we try to read the mind of that individual. So just like Reb Nosson elsewhere Paschal's like Umdina, here too, presumably he's the one that Paschal was on his Ayin. What's the case of the Umdina? The Umdina Reb Nosson. Halacha of Shimon Shazuri in two cases. The first case is Bim Mesukar. That's a case that really is of relevance to us. The second halacha is not relevant to our sugya. What is that case of Mesukar? So, a famous Gemara, we had it elsewhere. Rashi brings the Mesachta's Gittin. Well, we had it in other places too. What happens if you have, look at the last Rashi, Mesachta's Gittin, Hamafarish Vehayoitz Meshiyara, Vahim Kis Vegeli Ishti, Alpha Mishriyam and Knu, Hari Eil Yichtav Yitnu. What are we talking about? Normally, if a person has a shalom wants to give a get to his wife, and he tells two eidim, kisvu get li ishti. If he doesn't say tnu, they should not give the get. Kisvu alone is garnished. He has to say kisvu u tnu. Unless he says tnu, you hold on to the get until you meet him again a year later and ask him, are you still interested? Yeah. But did you live with your wife in between? No. Okay. Now to know. But if he didn't say to know, you don't give the gift. What happens, however, if the person has said this an hour before his El Al flight is about to leave? He's worried the security is going to take 55 minutes. He's going to miss his flight. And he calls up, Shnell, do me a favor, go right again for my wife. Right again, right again, right again. I'm sorry, I have to leave. I have to get off the phone. Hangs up, rushes to the airport. He gets his flight, and he's out. He only said kiss, so he didn't say to know. What happens now? So it says in the Mishnah, Sechus Kidin, Hamafarish, by Yoitz and Peshiyar, someone who's leaving on a trip, and he says, Kisu, what he didn't say to know, Hare Eilu Yechtav of Yitno, but he didn't say to know. The Machvas Tirdas, Eishu, Bol, Al Navshu, he is speaking Mar Dvarav. Because we say, the reason why he didn't say to know is because he was in a rush. You can tell he was in a rush. This guy is always the friendliest guy, and he hung up on me, because he had to rush to the airport. Umikara, Lechkisu, Tanu, Nisgab. If I would have asked him, do you want to know also? Of course, don't be not. I have to rush to the airport. So therefore, says the Mishnah, Gan Sklur, even without the Tanu, you give it. However, Rav Shimon Shazuri adds, the same thing applies to Mesukah. Mesukah means a goises, person who's on his deathbed, and he says to Tuwaita, please, go and write a get for my wife. He didn't say Tanu, he just said, write. Now you're wondering, why would he go and write a get? He's kind of about to die anyway. And the answer is because of Yibam and Chalitza issues. So therefore, he wants to write a get out to his wife. But he only said Kisru, he didn't say Tanu. So Rav Shimon Shazuri, the same thing. Avad and Avad, he meant to say Tanu. But never, because he happens to be hanging in there between Shemayim and Aretz. So it didn't occur to him to go and throw it. But Avad, he meant. So you see that Rav Shimon Shazuri goes after Umdina, that's certainly his kavana. And Rav Nosson holds like Shimon Shazuri, passing like him and Mizukah. So probably the same Rav Nosson, the passing over there, but Umdina, passing like it was with Azariah by Umdina. Now there's a separate unrelated case, and that's Betrumas Maisa Shel Demai. What's going on with Betrumas Maisa Shel Demai? Explains Rashi, it's Betrumas Maisa Shel Demai Shechozro Limekoima. As we know, the whole halacha of Demai is Midraban, because Roiv Amaat Ami Ha'oretz Ma'asrin Hein. There was only a small percentage, and the Chama said, no, to be on the safe side, everybody should go and give Maisa. So what happens? The Kaki gave Trumas and Maisa from the Demai, and the Levi gave Maisa Mina Maisa, which is intended for the Kain, and that Maisa Mina Maisa is called Trumas Maisa, which has the same status of Truma, and it's only eaten by the Kahanim. And guess what happened? That Trumas Maisa, by accident, fell back into the Demai. Now, there's no way of being misak in this Demai by trying to take away 5% to 10%. I don't know how much fell in, and that all is Truma, and the rest of it has a status of Chulin. When it says it falls into the Demai, it really falls now into the Chulin. And now, what am I going to do with it? I don't know what percentage fell in, and if I azar that eats Chas V'Sholem Truma's Meiser, if I keep eating Truma, Hulila could be Misa, that's a Misa Masa. So what can you do? The only thing you can do is go and sell this mixture to the Kohen. But when you're going to sell that mixture to coin, obviously you're going to sell it at a discount because there's not such a major demand for that type of situation. So Rav Shimon Shazuri said, and Rav Nosson possibly Rav Shimon Shazuri, that since the whole din of Demai is Midrabanan, that a person is allowed to go and ask the Amoritz, tell me Amoritz, my friend, did you give Trumas and Maestris from this collection of Tvua that you sold me? And he says, yes, I'm telling you, I gave it again. So even though normally you don't trust the Amoritz and you have to go and give it again, but here, because of the Hefsan Maruba that he's going to suffer by the fact that the Trumas Meiser has fallen back into Demai, so Rav Shimon Shazuri says, it's okay, you can rely on the Amoritz's statement that I was Mafrish Meiser already, and so therefore, this Demai is just regular Chulin, and this Trumas Meiser is not Trumas Meiser, so it's Garnish Mid Garnish.
Isn't that 200-to-1 ratio for Meduma?
Is that good or bad?
No, I'm saying why are we saying there's no ticking for it? If it's a ratio of 200-to-1,
let's assume that there wasn't 200-to-1.
Then there's nothing to do.
So that's the case. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
And then you have to sell it to the Kahanim. Okay. Says Rashi, it'll be a hefsid. Zok the Gemara. So we pass it like Rav Shimon Shazuri again. That's not related to us. Zok the Gemara. So therefore, it's probably Rav Nosson that holds like Shimon Shazuri in the Mesukin case, which is Umdana, like the case of Ark Tzuba, which is Umdana. Frank, you have Rav Liyos. Basa Umdana. I'll show you Rav also goes Basa Umdana. Vo'itmar. Matod Shchimar Ashikos Bo Kinyan. Ve'bei Rav Mishmei De Rav Amri Arkebe Atrei Rikshi. Ushmul Omar Lo Yedana Mai Eden Ba. What is this talking about? You have a Matod Shchimar. Matod Shchimar is like a last will and testament, because the star begins that this was written out and this was dictated when Yankel Smith was unfortunately lying on his deathbed. Now we know you don't have to go and do any kinyanim because this is his last will and testament and Dibishchimara. Fine. What happened if the Shchimara asked the lawyers that are drafting the document, but throw in all the shyness of kinyan that you would normally find in a matnas bari. And therefore, we now have a hybrid document. A document which on the surface, on the front, last will and testament. But then you look at the document, it talks about all the normal standard stuff that you would find in a matnas bari, which require you to go and make all different types of kinyanim and things. So now, what status does it have? Does it have the status of matanis bari? Or does it have the status of matanis chibra? What will be the nafkimina? We'll see shortly in the Gemara two nafkiminas. So what's the din about such a hybrid document? So Rav, or Bibay Rav, the Pesmedish of Rav, they said in the name of Rav, Arkeve presumably either comes from the word Rechev, which means that you are driving on a chariot, or Arkeve could also be from the Russian Murkiv, that it's a hybrid, just like an Esrig Hamorkiv. Atrei Rikshi, Rashi says that the word Rikshi comes from the expression in Megillus Esther, which says, Roichve Horechesh Hu Achash Teronim. Roichve Horechesh means people that are riding on the Rechev, or riding on the Rechesh. Here, what the Gemara says is it's an expression that the individual, Lishchimra, has produced a document that has two roots to go on, or two koichos to support itself on. By the fact that it's a combination of a shchimra and a bari, you get two strengths, and that strengthens the document, as we'll see in a moment. Ushmul amalei dana my inbar. I don't know, I'm lost. When I see a document like that, I don't know, the shchimra, is it a matanis bari? I get lost. So the Gemara explains, Bebei Rabbi Shmei Rav Amir Arkevei Atrei Rikshi, Harhiki matanis bari, that what? But he, as well, if Harikim Atan Shchimra, Harikim Atan is bari the im amad eini yochel lachzerbai. Normally, if a Shchimra writes out his last will and testament, and then he divides up all his nechassim, and then miraculously, Baruch Hashem, he gets back to his koiches, and a week or a month later, you see him going to Bismedish, going back to work, going back to learn. Baruch Hashem, he's gizumt like everybody else. Then the halacha is that the Shchimra can go and have charata on everything that he gave. Why? Because his intention was la'achar misa. It wasn't an intention to go and give it when he was alive. The whole reason for this whole last will and testament. What is the last will and testament? When a person passes away, Baruch Hashem, he's alive. He can be chayzer by. However, since he wrote matan is bari in it, all types of lashonis that it's chal. Now, and yochel achzer, he can no longer change his mind. As well, Hari Kintonish Shchimra, Shim Omar halva osi leplayni, halva osi leplayni. What happens if, again, this Shchimra, he says, Yankel owes me $1,000. I know that I'm not going to collect it during my lifetime because, unfortunately, I don't have much more time to live. And therefore, I assign that loan or that note that Yankel owes me money, I assign it to Beryl. Now, normally, in a regular situation, you'd have to go and pick up the shtar and make a kansakinyan. Here, it's in the, it says in that shtar, the Matana Shchimra, that I give mahalva asi leplayni, the halva belongs to Playni, even though no kinyan was made on the shtar or on the original money. It works. Why? Because by Tanish Shchimra, you don't need a kinyan. Every Shchimra kichsum kusarim dami. So therefore, Rav is saying that we give him both koiches, the strength of Matanis Bari, and the strength of a Matanis Shchimra. Shmuel said, no, I don't know what to do. Shemuel gomelak lo yisei ele bishtar. Maybe the reason why he asked for all of these additional legal terminology in the shtar, because he wanted it to be like a normal shtar bari. If it's like a regular shtar, being shtar lachemisa, you can only have a shtar when you're still alive. If his whole kavana was to transfer all of these properties between the shtar, and that it should all happen after he passes away, no such thing as shtar lachemisa. He's going to the whole thing he can throw into the trash bin. Now, what's the reason why Rav disagrees? Because Rav says the reason why he threw in additional language, because he didn't want afterwards lawyers to go and say that there's a problem with the shtar. He says, throw in whatever legalese you can, any terminology. It'll have the strength of Matanis Bari, Matanis Shchimra, whatever you can, so I won't have to worry about if the Olam Emes that you're not following suit on what my intentions were. So that says the Gemara. That's Ultan Umdira, that Rav says, we look in the minds of the Shchimra. The Shchimra wants to make sure. He's not a person who's befuddled and bemuddled like Shmuel is suggesting. Maybe like Gomelak Loisel Bishtar. He wanted to be Maknet for sure. He's Nebuch Shchimra. He's about to pass on. So he said, throw in whatever you can to make sure that it works. So L'chayra, I see from this that both Rav Nosson goes Basa Umdina and Rav goes Basa Umdina. So how do I know that we pass like Rav Nosson Nazaria? And you said, well, because Rav Nosson goes Basa Umdina by Shimon, by Shimon Shizuri, maybe it's Rav goes Basa Umdina, like we see in this case of the Matan Shchimra, which was a hybrid. So what's the machlokes? Mandi amalacha, the one that says Allah Reb Elazar ben Azariah shaper, because what does Reb Elazar ben Azariah say? Shema loy kasa blo elam naskel koins. Since it was no knisa, and therefore we read into the mind, he died already. He can't ask him what he had in mind, so you go basa umdina. Mandi amay amalacha hachanami unden dato you. No, I do go basa umdina. He says, you think that this young lady was going to go and accept my proposal? Huh? Why should she go and accept a proposal? She's Kanai Nahara, Baruch Hashem, Atrizis Mara. She's a pretty young lady. She's a Melumedes. She comes from a wonderful stock, from a wonderful family. She's a Tzedekah. She's all the malas. Why should she come to me? I grease the wheels by putting into the Ksuba. I'm going to give you $1 million, super none. Oh, the tzeft. Ah, that's a good reason to go and get engaged.
She's doing math too.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, the fact that she accepted his proposal and she said, I do, I agree to the Erisin, he accomplished that. That was the reason why he threw the tzeft. Not for purposes of future Almanas L'Koyntza Nisuin, that she should accept the proposal today and agree to be my Arusa.
To sweeten this marketability.
Okay, or to sweeten the deal that she should say, yes, I do, I agree. That's also Umdadas. The reason why he threw in the extra million is so that she should become now endeared and beloved to him, and she should now feel wanted and want the shidduch. He was successful. And therefore, each one of them is based on an Umdada. Reb Elazar ben Azariah's umdana is that he only gave the million because he wanted the eventual close, intimate relationship, which unfortunately never occurred. Therefore, don't give the additional tosefes. While the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah also go basa umdana. The umdana is I wanted to accept my betrothal proposal. She accepted. I was successful, and therefore she's entitled to the full amount. We could theoretically stop here, but as you'll see in the next few lines, it's very, very, very simple. Let's just finish off the sugya. Yosef Rav Chanina Kabi Rav Yanak V'kom Halacha K'Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And therefore, if the husband passes away during the Erisin,
just Manu Masayim, no,
just the Manu Masayim, you do not give the Tosefes. Amalei. So Rav Yanak answered him, Hoik Kari Karecha Lebra. Go and take your vart that you just said now, take it outside Bens Medish, because you're wrong. Ein Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We do not pass like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's how most people interpret this Gemara. We say, take your Shtikl Torah, it's great, say the Shtikl Torah outside, not here in Bismedish, because ain't not going to Reb Shulam Friedman's Kren Lebracha, who used to learn with us all the time, he was a Shver of Avrum Halpern, said in the Haim, the way he learned the Gemara was that he was telling him, I want you to go outside and publicize to everyone that ain't Allah Kriblaz Menazai, not only here in the Koysel of Bismedish. I want you to go and tell the whole world that what you said was incorrect. Rabbeinu means Rav, says Rashi. Halach Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We pass on Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel, Halach Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That was Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman did day Amar. Ein Halach Rav Elazar ben Azariah. I disagree. Ein Halach. When Erdari Mishum, Ishmeid Rav Nachman Amar, Amri, Halach Rav Elazar ben Azariah. They had another Messiah that Rav Nachman said, Halach is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'yavel gav the lot Rav Nachman. And even though Rav Nachman gave us a shtickle curse, V'omar kol dayne d'doin k'rebi loz ben Azariah hachi v'hachi t'heve, any dayne the pasuk of loz ben Azariah and he cuts off the tzisefes, the following should happen to him.
It's not good.
Not good. Afil hachi ob l'maisa alochir loz ben Azariah v'alocha l'maisa. Who's alocha l'maisa is Rashi. The Gemara itself is paskening that that's how the Bnei Yeshiva concluded. K'rebi loz ben Azariah, you only get the man of Messiah. You don't get the toys, ksuba. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Welcome. Wonderful. Thank you.